I suppose that in an ideal world, the week that we are going through at the moment, the week after Purim, would be a week of introspection, a week of looking back on Purim and asking ourselves whether we took from Purim, we took away with us from Purim, that which Purim is supposed to inculcate into us. We tend to ask people, and we may know you had a nice Purim, everybody should be happy, which is of course true. But the question is, why should everybody be happy? What should be the result of that happiness? So the emes is, the Chazal tell us, in the peak of the celebration of Purim, was La'ihudim, ho'yso oiro, v'simcho, v'soson, v'yiko, we say it loud, and we have a nigun to it, and all the bachim go around collecting Baruch Hashem, the amount of chesed that's done on Purim in these communities, so beautiful. People give and give and give and give. It's the most beautiful thing, the poshut, the open-heartedness and open-handedness that Tayre Yidin display on Purim, kenish zayin besser. It's really an unbelievable thing. However, as in most areas of life, there's always a but. Yeah, La'yehudim ha'isa oiro v'simcho v'sosan v'yiko. Straight in the Gemara, oiro is the toiro, simcho is yonto, sosan is milo, yiko is tefillin. What does that mean? What does it mean? They didn't put on tefillin before? Some they put on tefillin all the time. Bris milos, no, what's the shail? Of course they did bris milos. So what does it mean? What it means is, versteht sich, that what the Chazal are telling us is that the Eure, which they felt, the light, the delight of the experience of the Nitzochen over Amolek, over Haman, that hat sich ausgestellt. How did that express itself? In an awareness, a new awareness of the light in Torah, of the Simcha in Yontov, of the Sosain in taking our little ones and making a bris on them, on the Yikor, that when we put on tefillin in the morning, it becomes a new experience, an experience of Taka, of Yoko, whatever the tefillin it is that they say to us about dedication of our actions and dedications of our minds, whatever we read into tefillin or out of tefillin should have become changed by Purim. In other words, that what it says in that Pasuk, La'yehudim ha'isa oiro v'simcha v'sosan v'yikor, was that the Nitzochen of Purim was going to express itself in a new kind of Torah learning, a new kind of Yontov celebration, of Bris Milah and Tefillin. Nu, has it? Are my Tefillin today better than they were a week ago? I suppose that if I were to think about it while I'm putting on tefillin, I could sort of try to be ma'ir or something in my mind, but I certainly am not doing it as a natural thing. Wow, it's only a few days since Purim. My tefillin have to be real, real tefillin. It's taka a week of introspection, a week of looking back and realizing that Purim, besides the Simcha of Purim and the Freilichkeit of Purim and the Matonas Levyoinim and the Shlachmonas Ishlareel, a beautiful, beautiful day, but it's also a day of testing. That means, are we just going through the motions which the Halacha is matil on us and trying to have a happy time at the same time and trying to do some good by like the Rambam says, the Ikar is Ein L'cho Simcha G'damu Fu'aro, then to be make people happy who are needy, the Matonas Lev Yoinim. It's a Moir de Gezachen. It's really, really Moir de Gezachen. But does it go beneath the surface of these mitzvahs that we do? And do we emerge from Purim as changed human beings, as people who do their everyday things, the Torah and the Yontov and the Bris and the Tefillin, have they become different? You have to remember that this Purim is, you know, Ayeles HaShacha, Mashacha Soif Kol HaLaila, so Purim is Soif Kol HaNisim. Purim was the last Nes that was Nitta in Likosev, all right, it's not before Purim, now we won't go into that, I think we talked about it the last couple of weeks ago, the Nitta in Likosev of Purim, but this was the last written in our Kislev HaKodesh, this was the last Sefer in Tanakh, which is there to tell us in Golus how a Yid is supposed to live. And the message of the Megillah, at least that aspect of that Megillah, is LaYehudim Hoyse Oyru V'Simcha V'Sosin Yikor, a different Jewish life, a more thought-out Jewish life. It's a Mordechai Gesach. That is the message that the Rebbeinu Shalom sends us into Golos from this last Nes, which is Nitin Likosev. I think we talked a couple of weeks ago. Well, what I shared with you, my memory of the Ponyvesh Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who spoke to us in Geitzer many, many, many years ago about Zichrut HaRas Moshe, the last Nevuah in Malachi. It says, look, it's the end of Nevuah, Zichrut HaRas Moshe, go through Golus holding onto the Torah. And the Nisim, it's at the Nisim, the same message as Malachi said in Zichrut HaRas Moshe, the Rebbeinu Shem said to us with the Nes of Purim, and he said, listen, you have to go through Golus now. They're not going to be any more overt Nisim, or they're not going to be any Nisim which will make it into Kislev HaKodesh. So therefore, in your heritage of written Torah, this is it. This is the message. And what's the message? Celebrate Tefillin in a meaningful way. Let the act of putting on Tefillin in the morning be an act of being Loivesh Yekor. Yet you're a melech, you're a glorious aristocracy. It's such a mordechai gesach, and that's what the Rebbeinu Shem is telling us. Use Purim in order to change the Judaism that you live in the ordinary course of events. And as I was in this thought mode, I'm blushing to the roots of my hair as I'm even saying it to you. The total mindlessness, which I look back now, that's less than a week ago, with which I was Mekayim the Ramor. I want to share that with you because we're learning Kisisa. So in the Simon Tov Reish Tzadik Dalet, the Minhag of Machzus HaShekel, so the Ramor says, Yesh Oimrim Sheyesh Liten Koidem Purim Machatzes Min HaMatbeya HaKavua Ba'oysoy Mokam Uba'oysoy Zman Zecher LeMachatzes HaShekel Sheho Yonosnem Ba'ador ומאחר שגימל פעום עם כוסף תרומה בפשע, יש ליתן גימל. Okay, I did what everybody else probably did, and we're all used to this nowadays. Everything is made so easy for us. You go, there's a plate over there, and you have one or maybe several little packets of three coins of chatzi dollars, and you poided that with the money that you want to give, and then you give your machzis ha-shekel. If you look at the halacha, it's a ganze shaila. Why it should help? The first guy already gave them to tzedakah, so how can the gizbar give it back to you for money? Whatever it is. But that's the minig he saw, it's kodesh, azedas. And when I look back now, less than a week ago, what I did over there, it was totally and completely and utterly mindless. The packet was there, I put in my money, I made a kenyan, I was machaven to be mekayim in the midst of machzis ha-shekel, I put it back down, and I went on my merry way. It didn't touch me, not a key who's there. And the emes is, when you think about it, and when you read Pashas Kisisa, and we see, like, what was involved? What is this Machzis HaShekel? And look, Rabbi say, listen to this. Yesh Oimrim, Sheyesh Koidem Purim, Sheyesh Liten Koidem Purim, Machzis Min HaMatbeah, and so on and so forth. And since it says three times Trumah in the Pasha, so the Motcha says, give three Machzis HaShekels. What are we doing? Did any of us, maybe all of you did, I didn't, think about, why am I giving three? Let's have a look. Where does it say three times in the Pasha? The truth is that I was looking in the Ramah already, and going back to the Pasha to see what it says over there. It's Taka Mamish Marafsen Iker. It's unbelievable. Let's read the Psukim. Ze yitnu kol ha'oyve al ha'pikudim, machatzis ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh, esrim geiro ha'shekel, machatzis ha'shekel terumo l'ashem. Okay, you're supposed to give a terumo l'ashem, machatzis ha'shekel, great. Kol ha'oyve al ha'pikudim, ben esrim shono v'malo, yitain terumas ha'shem, nochamol terumas ha'shem. He'oshir lo yabe v'hadal lo yamit, mimachatzis ha'shokel, lo seis es terumas ha'shem, l'chapi al nafshasechem. Three consecutive Psukim. call the same thing Trumas Hashem. Like, it's Maras Negra, like, it's unbelievable. What's the Torah doing over here? And why this constant repetition of Trumas Hashem? Now at least I have an understanding of what the Mordechai said. So give three. Why should I give three? Because the Torah says three times the word Truma. The Torah says you have to ask yourself, why does the Torah say Truma three times? You've already described it as Truma Hashem in the first pasuk. Why repeat that in the second pasuk? Why repeat that in the third pasuk? The Torah is, you see, Dr. Mordechai, and you see, says Klal Yisrael, in its collective, intuitive sense of what is appropriate, if the Torah, the Rabbeinu Shalom, found it significant to say three times Terumas Hashem, totally unnecessarily, Miprinas, the Pshutei Shel Mikra. So the Rabbeinu Shalom is telling you three times, Yankel, listen to me. This Machatzis HaShekel is a Truma. What does Truma mean? I saw Rav Shamsher Halhirsch translates the word Truma, that which is raised up, well, Ram, yeah, is height, right? So Truma is the injecting with height. So it's something that you lift upwards. That's what Truma is. That you elevate. It's an elevation gift. It's a gift that is supposed to elevate. And the Torah says three times, this Machatzis HaShekel should elevate you. It should be a Terumo Lashem. It should be an act of giving to the Rebbeinu Shem Ki'ilu Kiviyochel. An act of dedication which expresses itself in self-elevation. So then we're supposed to be doing that. I don't even know if I had the koyach to do it, whether I would do the following. But in a theoretical, in a totally theoretical kind of way, I would say, much rather than wrapping three half coins into one package, and everything is so convenient, it's so convenient, don't even have to lift yourself three times, you can just, one little act of lifting, and you've lifted all the three. Isn't it great? It's so easy, it's so nice, it's so beautiful, and ultimately so meaningless. If those Machtes HaShekels would be lying there loose, and I'd have to take one and give it, and take another one and give it, and take a third one and give it. So then at least, if I'm in the mood, or if I'm if I'm not completely moribund, so I'm thinking as I'm putting each one back, another act of truma, another act of elevation, another act of giving. So, but here it's so easy to us. You wrap them all in a nice little package, lift them up, no problem, no trouble, lift them up, put them down, go away. Oy. So what is it, Tucker? Like, what's so elevating about the Machtzis HaShekel? Why is it such an elevating experience? No, so the Emes is, I don't know the siders or what, you know, I don't know anything, but I do know, I did read this morning what Rav Shamshel Hirsch in his inimitable way, like how he reads in the Pshuta Shel Mikra such meiridige Sachen, this idea of the Machtzis HaShekel, this idea, and you can understand why it is a Trumas Hashem. It's just what it says in the Pasha, it's so interesting. Are there deeper issues involved? Of course there are, I'm sure, and not that I know them. But at the Pshuta Shel Mikra, just he asks himself, like, why is it only Miben Esrim Shona V'mala that the din of Machtzis HaShekel for the counting? What is the Oiva al HaPikudim? What does it really mean, Kol HaOvea al HaPikudim? So Rashi says, because the people are counting and the people pass them by, so it's called Oiva al HaPikudim. Rashi touches it differently. He says, all those who pass into the ranks of the counted. And that's really like in the diktok of the Pikudim, I think is more Pshutish al Mikra like. Yeah, the Pikudim is in the passive. Yeah, those that are counted, Kol HaOiver Ala Pikudim, those who pass into the group of the counted ones, they leave the masses, the uncounted ones. In other words, there are in Jewish life, there are those that are counted and those that are not counted. So before he's given his Machatzis HaShekel, so he belongs to a mass, an undifferentiated mass. And that mass is standing there without any thought at this point of dedication, of giving themselves over to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of giving themselves over to the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're just a mass of humanity. And now, as he comes to give his Machtzis HaShekel, what he's doing is, he is entering the ranks of the counted ones. He's in the register of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, oh, this guy is not just one of a mass. He is Mr. So-and-so who came and gave his Machtzis HaShekel. And of course, what is the Machtzis HaShekel? Okay, so this idea that it's only a half, that's of course, everybody understands that. I mean, and that the message of that is that you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. There's never more than a contribution to the tzibur. I mean, contribution of talent, contribution of koyach, of energy, of intelligence, of whatever it is that you have to offer the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know that loy olecha, Rav Shmuel Hirsch tells too, loy olecha hamelocha ligmar. You can never do more than a part. So give your chatzi hashekel. That means as you give, as you join the ranks of the counted ones, realize what it is in your power to give. What is it in your power to give? In your power to give is a part. And you must be acutely aware that on your own you're not going to get there. And therefore, to be kaveya in yourself, the sense of community, the sense of having to join together with others and to do and to create something worthwhile. But then, of course, it comes along. It's an etzmoyledik. What is, I mean, the posuk really is matgeshet. Why is the posuk matgeshet over here? That the shekel is esrim geiro, so chatzi shekel is 10 geiro. So what is that? So it's moyledik. He says, but it's like, really, if you think about it, it's almost like a stira in the two symbolisms. But it's, of course, it's not a stira at all. In other words, on the one hand, I'm asked to understand that lo yolecho hamlocho lidma, meaning that I cannot do the whole on myself. I have to come on to my brother to help, that he has to give his chatzi, and I give my chatzi, and everybody else gives his chatzi, and between us we'll get somewhere. But that which you give has to be 10. Oy, it's magic. The number of hashlomah is 10. Yeah, you have 9 yidin milling around. They can't say kaddish. 10th yid comes along. 10. 10 is a minion. So 10 is a dover sholem. So that's what he says. That it's esrim geiro hashekel. So you have to give 10. That means, although what you give is only half relative to what's happening outside, that means once all these chatzi shekels are there together, so then you have the requisite amount, in this case for the Adonim, which we'll see later. But that which you give has to be sholem. There mustn't be anything missing. It has to be a 10. No amount of energy which you could have dedicated should you leave undedicated. No amount of talent which you have, you should leave locked away, unused and undeveloped. Don't do that. You have gifts. Give them in total shlemus. Let your non-sholemdike half be sholem. Wow, that's unbelievable. But that is what's really happening. That's what's happening. And who has to give it? Has to give it the Ben Esrim, not children. Tzvi Shmuel talks about that over there. Children aren't ready for that. That kind of dedication, children are brought up in their parents' home, and they are receivers, and that is correct. At the stage of childhood, that is what you're supposed to be. The people look after you, and people make sure that you have what you need, and do as you're supposed to, and do what's best. So that's very, very, very important. But that is not the age of dedication. When somebody is 20, when somebody grows up and becomes, we would say, becomes an adult, and starts thinking that I have a life to live, I have responsibilities to fill. Maybe he's thinking of getting married, he knows he has to support a family, he knows that he has to direct his life. So you need the earnest dedication of a Ben Esrim. And the Ben Esrim, at the threshold when he stands at the threshold of the forming of his life, when he stands at the threshold, I am about to enter into responsible adulthood, taking care of the needs which adulthood thrusts upon me. At that first moment, that is when the Rebbeinu Shem comes along and says, okay, and now you're going to take a course in adulthood. I want you to give a chatzi shekel, which is 10 gero. That means a complete giving over of your incomplete contribution in the relative to what has to be accomplished. So I'm looking back, and that's the Mishnah. Yeah, lo yolecha locha ligma, v'iyato ben chayrin libotel mimena. Lo yolecha locha ligma is the half. Iyato ben chayrin libotel mimena is the 10. My in the world. And when I'm ben esrim, that's what the Rebbeinu Shem, the lesson which the Rebbeinu Shem gives me is, now you're going to be counted. You join the ranks of the counted. You're over el hapkudim. You're passing from the mass. I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself the whole time, but it's so nispoil. I'm so nispoil from the, it's obgetaj. And I'm so unbelievably horrified at the way I did it this year. I picked it up, I was pointing my money, I put it back down, I went away. Not a single of these thoughts passed through my mind. We have to be more thoughtful about the way in which we do everyday things, and that we do them by rote, and we're trained really in a way. Like, don't philosophize so much. The ikar is the asiyah of the mitzvah. You have to do the mitzvah, and you have to do it, and you have to do it in the mehudadik way. But we have to understand, I think, that the mehudah, the biggest hiddah of doing the mitzvah, is to do it in a thoughtful kind of way. And that's, so the three tumas, getting back a moment to that three tumas, another elevation to the Rebbeinu Shem, another elevation, but it didn't elevate me. I just gave it, and then I went away. So I'd done my mitzvah, I'd been mekayim, I tried to be mekayim the minute of chatzi shekel. But so what? It passed me by, it didn't touch me at the place where it should really have touched me. So really much of what I spoke today has been, I took from Sham Shmuel Hirsch, because it stuck with some Meiradik. See, at a level, I guess people who are listening to this year probably share with me the sense that we're probably not tzaddikim enough or wise enough to be able to deal with the Sisrei Torah, which are certainly kosher to these mitzvahs. But at the level of Pshutesh and Mikro, we have over here a moshel of what an insightful reading of the text, just what it says in the Torah. Trumel Hashem, Trumel Hashem, Trumel Hashem. Thank you, Mordechai, telling us that the mitzvah is to, with minik is to give three, because there's three times Trumel. So maybe some gabba somebody will take, if he hears what I'm saying now, maybe he'll tuck it, do it differently next year and make three half coins lying around and trouble the noisnim to pick it up three times and to give it three times. Who knows? What's the Indian? I don't think I said this in a previous year, and so I just want to be grimer with a thought that went through my mind. I think in Truma we talked about this, v'yitchuli Truma, that what the Rebbeinu Shem asked Klal Yisrael that to give isha sheyidvenu libre tikachas trumosi. So it was an Indian of Nadiva Salev. It was an Indian of Nadiva Salev. Everybody gave what he was able to give, and not more than that was demanded of him, but of course, the expectation was that he would give b'nediva slave, that he should give in a generous kind of way. But over here, the machtas ha-shekel was he'oshir lo yabeh v'hadal lo yamit. Like, that was, in other words, there was a truma, there was a giving, which was depending on the nediva slave of the individual, and then there was a giving which was equal for everyone. And there was this enormous hakpoda that he oshir lo yabeh v'hadal lo yamid. Everybody had to give the same, and the biggest gevir could come along and say, listen, it's past me gone, to give up, so half a shekel, I'll give a million shkolim. No, sir, I want exactly half a shekel, not more and not less. And later on, in Pikudei, we see that this money was used for the Adonim. This kesef, which came in through the chatzi shekel, was used for the Adonim. So I asked myself, and I don't know, I didn't see this anywhere, and I don't think I've said it over before, so I'll just say it in case I've said it before, I apologize. But why was it? Why should the Adonim be different than all the other kalim of the Mishkan? That dafka by the Adonim, it was not a matter of nediva slave, it was a matter of heoshir lo yabeh v'adal lo yamit. Why should that be so? Like, what is the idea which lies in that? I can't say what is the idea, but maybe what is a idea. What's going on over here? Like, why should this be dafka the machzis hashekel? So it occurred to me, the Adonim are very interesting. The fact is that this chatzis shekel was, of course, keser, that only went on the Adonim of the Mishkan proper, and in the Chotzer, and in the Mosach, and the Adonim, and those other things, they were in the Choshes. But the Adonim of the actual Mishkan, in which the Kroshim of the Mishkan, the 20 Kroshim on each side, and so on, they were Adonim of silver. And it's there that there was this Hakpoda, that Heoshir lo yabeh v'hadal lo yamit. So what is the thought behind that? What could be a thought that we could attach to that? So, just occurred to me, and of course it fits in also with the fact that it was a chatzi hashekel, the way we do it just now, masbir from Rav Shams Rafael Hirsch, the idea of only contributing a part. It seems to me, if I close my eyes and I try to picture an Eden, I try to picture one of these supports into which the kroshim were put in order to keep them standing. So what is really an Eden? An Eden is really a hole. That's all it is. It's a space, and the yodaim of the kroshim were fixed into those things, and therefore the kroshim were able to stand. In other words, it's a receptacle. It's something that receives. It's not anything in itself. So I was thinking to myself, if I could picture just the Adonim before they put the kroshim in, so they're standing there like with gaping mouths, open mouths, like an open pit, please fill me. That is really what an Eden is. It's something that longs to be filled. It's something that is totally meaningless until something is poured into it. In this case, of course, not poured literally, but until the Adayim of the Kroshim are placed into them, it's unfulfilled. So my sechel is, especially when you think about it, that this was not something which was said about the Adonim which were from the Choshes, only the Adonim which were made from Kesef. So it seems to me that maybe it's Bederach Drush, but there is such a Mahalach of Drush also, that you know that Kesef, of course, the Loshen Kesef is Kisufim, longing for something, wanting something, craving something. And that is what kesef is. Kesef is money, and money is the one thing which has absolutely no value in itself. Its only value is in what you can buy. Kesef is a function of fulfilling kisufim. Money is a function of filling cravings. It's a horrible thing to say, but that's exactly what it is. So the Adonim made of kesef are the symbol of longing, of wanting, of craving, of waiting for fulfillment, of expecting and not being able to wait, like, oh, for the moment when something will be placed within me and therefore I will be fulfilled. That's the Adonim. And maybe you have this symbolism. We all know, especially those of us who are zeichet to learn in yeshiva or to learn in the seminaries, in educational institutions, I would say, that in terms of talent, in terms of intellect, in terms of the ability to absorb material, intellectual material, We are not equal. None of us are equal. There are people with brilliant minds and there are people with less brilliant minds. There are people with retentive minds and there are people with less retentive minds. It wasn't distributed equally. And each lefiachla, and each one of us is mechuyev to do what his koichos enable him to do. But in the tshuka, in longing for Torah, there we can all be equal. In the Adonim, whose chefze is a chefze of longing, it's a chefze of wanting, of craving, of needing fulfillment. In that, the greatest genius and the person who is anything but a genius can be equal. I tell you from my own experience. Back in Gateshead, I went to I started yeshiva in 1946. It was just after the war, really. And so at that time, so some of the Talmidim who came to yeshiva were Talmidim who had never been through all the tzoras in Europe, who had been in the camps. There weren't many of those in Gateshead, but there were some. And one came, and he was who knows what he had gone through. It's just horrible even to contemplate what he had gone through. And he wasn't really able to absorb much in learning. He didn't, and I'm quite sure that his horrific experiences contributed to that. He couldn't really absorb what he was learning. He didn't remember it. But the tshuka, he'd come over. Learn with me. He used to come and beg people to sit down and learn with him. Everybody knew that even what they were going to learn wasn't going to be absorbed in a very meaningful kind of way. But that was Cheshek, it was Moiradik. He was Mr. Aden. He was the Adonim. That tshuka for growth, tshuka, longing, craving, in that we can all be equal. Not all of us have the same talents in absorption, in retention, and so on. But the longing, and maybe that is the message, or maybe that is a message in the fact that this Adonim of Kesef, these longers of longing, those longers, those holes, those fulfillment cravers who were made of silver, whose action is the act of craving, for them, everybody can be equal. Our tshuka should be equally spread among all of us. What we accomplish, that's the Rebbein Shem's Geschäft, the koichos which he gave each one of us. So the moral of the story is, let's try and use this Parshas Kisiso to mon ourselves to greater thoughtfulness about the things that we do. All of us try to do mitzvahs, and we do it conscientiously, but I have a feeling that we don't always think enough what it is that we're doing. And maybe this Pasha can teach us a little bit of how significant that can be. All we have to do is to think back to those nice little packages of 3 half coins and see how that packaging makes us lose the whole tachlis of the 3, it seems to me, the 3 trumas. So, Meyer de Gesach, and something to think over.